So the epistle for the first Mass of Christmas is taken from Titus chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This first enrollment was made by Quirinus, the governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass that when they were there, her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds watching and keeping the night watches over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the brightness of God shone round them, and they feared with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." Please be seated. O Oriens, O rising dawn, in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Oriens is one of the O antiphons. You may have seen that at the back of the bulletin of last Sunday. An explanation kind of what the O antiphons are. They are the great antiphons of Vespers, from the 17th to the 23rd of December. So they lead us up to the Nativity of our Lord. And as I mentioned in the bulletin, if you take the first letter of the Latin of those, they spell out arrow cross, meaning tomorrow I will come. Obviously, talking about then, Christmas Eve and then our Lord coming this night. And so with that, it also highlights a title of the Messiah, refers to a prophecy of Isaiah of the coming of the Messiah. And so they're interesting. I would encourage you to look at those, maybe to read some things on them. Obviously, yes, we've now come to the great feast of Easter, of Christmas. But with that, it also helps us to try to understand, as the church tries to prepare us for this great feast, what it gives us to think about. With this one, this fifth antiphon of Vespers, the O Oriens, it talks about desperately needing a Savior, a Redeemer to come. It mentions in there that we pray for that, we long for our Lord to come. And that has kind of been the whole idea during Advent, that yes, we long for the Messiah. We see that in the liturgy, come, do not delay, asking for our Lord to come to us. It's also something that is expressed in the Benedictus, which also is said by the religious, Oriens ex alto. So this rising dawn coming from on high, in reference to our Lord again. And so that's where, in this time period, certainly for us, we've tried to make our preparation through our Advent, through our sacrifices, through our prayers, maybe the extra things that we've taken on. Because our Lord comes to dispel the darkness of the world. And that is why then we can see, very fitting, that he comes at midnight, at the darkness of the night, because he is this light to come. And so, granted, the darkness can be a reflection of our sins, reflection of the ignorance that we have, obviously one of the wounds that was inflicted upon us because of the sin of our first parents, something that we suffer still to this day. And that is where we see the the weaknesses that we received because of this first fall. And so, yes, the darkness is our sins, the ignorance that we have, not just the darkness of the night. But this truth has come. The antiphon continues on, splendor lucis eternae, the radiance of light eternal. And so the light, the brightness shining forth is our Lord being this true light. He is this truth. And that's why we reference our Lord as the Word, because he is this true Word. And so that is where then, as I say, our Lord shines forth this brightness, this light for people to follow, just as the three wise men had the star to follow in coming upon the creche or the crib scene, this manger when coming and seeing the true king, that our Lord is this light to mankind. And that's why it continues on and says, so justitiae, the son of justice. And so Christ as the son, emitting rays of justice, of holiness, of grace, he admits these things to us to give us this chance to get to heaven. And I think that's something that we have to reflect upon in this Christmas season. This King of Glory comes, bringing this light to all of us, and God willing that we accept this light. Because by accepting this light, well, then we try to live our life pleasing to God. Because certainly then on the final day, obviously when we await the second coming of our Lord, that our Lord will lay bare the truth of everything, every thought, every word, every deed. You know, do we follow our Lord or do we not? And that is what we await. So that's also something that we've talked about in the past. That granted, our Lord comes now spiritually to us, but at some point his second coming will happen. And that is where I think I mentioned to you about those in the Old Testament, that they could only rely upon these prophecies, like the prophecy of Isaiah, of awaiting then this true king that is to come. And yet, they never saw our Lord, but they lived their lives in anticipation of that. And so that's the same thing for us, that we live in anticipation of our Lord, this King of Glory, this light to the world. And so that it becomes for us, we reflect and to see, have we turned toward this light? Have we repented of our sins, our weaknesses, our faults that we have? And that's where then the antiphon continues on. It says, sedentes in tenebris et ad umbra mortis. So it says, come and enlighten those who sit in darkness. And so again, it is not just the darkness of the night. It is the darkness of our sin, the darkness of our ignorance, that our Lord would come and give this light to mankind. And it continues on, the other part of it says, and in the shadow of death. The shadow of death because the people do not have the truth. And so it's a great reflection upon for us to think about this great feast. As I mentioned, with these antiphons, these great antiphons of this of Advent season, preparing us for this feast, gives us the different titles of our Lord, but it also helps us to see what the prophecies about our Lord meant. And not only what they meant, what they are meant for us to live by. And so if our Lord is this shining light, this radiant dawn, if he is this, do we follow that? Or are we in the darkness like the rest of the world, living in the materialism? And so that is where it's so important for us to understand the spiritual message of Christmas that is given to us. That through the preparation of Advent for us, it was meant to prepare for this great light, to leave the darkness, to go toward the light. And so that is what we must try to reflect upon now. What was the preparation that we made for this great feast? Have we prepared well enough for the great Messiah that has come? That we see through the prophecies of Isaiah, these seven antiphons that he gives to us, that he gives all of these titles of our Lord, but he also tries to help us to grasp the true meaning of our Lord's coming. And so, yes, we anticipate, we wait for the second coming of our Lord. That final day where everything will be laid bare for everyone to see. Are we prepared for that? Are we ready for that? Do we understand that? And that's why it's interesting then to also to look at and tie in to the fact of obviously the famous saying from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. But if you read after that, the verses after that, it also shows to us the importance of not only that our Lord sent, that God sent his only Son, our Lord, to us, but it continues on. It says, he was sent not to condemn the world, but to save it. It's very easy for us to look at the world around us. And yes, in a large sense, it should be condemned. But our Lord came into this world to save it. He came for all of us, obviously, to follow him. But that is the whole purpose of why our Lord came. He came to save mankind. And so looking at the reflection of, obviously, the Gospel of St. John, you remember in the very first, the last, what we call the last Gospel, the first chapter of John, he talks about how, obviously, St. John the Baptist tried to bring this light to mankind, and he was rejected by his own. And so that's what also St. John in the third chapter continues on and says. After he talks about that he was sent to save this world, not to condemn it, but he says, because of the people that believe in him. And so certainly those that do not believe in him, it is because they love their darkness rather than the light. And these are the words that St. John gives to us, explaining to us those that love our Lord believe in him, and those that do not, it is because they love their darkness. They love their darkness rather than the light. And St. John continues on because he says, their deeds are evil. And so I think we can look at the O Antiphons, yes. These prophecies of Isaiah. These titles of our Lord that are given to us as a means of reverence to our Lord, but also for a reflection for us. And yes, it's interesting to see how then they put together the Latin, talk about arrow cross, tomorrow I will come. And so we have come to that point now. Our Lord has come. And yes, he's come spiritually into, God willing, into our souls at Holy Communion. But we've got to understand, we've got to be one of those that follow the light. Following the light as opposed to the darkness. Because we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll leave you then with the last part of John 3:16 through 21. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.